Tim Gallagher has always been fascinated with animals, particularly birds. He is editor-in-chief of Living Bird magazine at the Cornell Lab of Ornithology and a world-renowned birder. In 2004, Gallagher and Bobby Ray Harrison reported their sighting of the nearly mythical ivory-billed woodpecker in the swamps of Arkansas, an experience Gallagher described in his book The Grail Bird. But some bird watchers might be surprised to hear that one of America's preeminent birders is also a hunter. In fact, a falconer. Tim Gallagher has been training hunting hawks since childhood, and he's written the memoir Falcon Fever about his life with birds of prey. And Strange Champs asked him about his current hunting companion, Macduff.
If Macduff was right here in the studio sitting on your fist now, what would we see?
Well, he's got a dark head. A peregrine has almost like a helmet, it looks like. You know, they're like, they call them mustache marks. It's sort of like the way a football player will put black on their cheeks so there won't be glare from the sun. When, you know, it's the same thing with falcons. When they're diving down on prey, they don't, you know, want to be blinded by the sun reflecting off pale cheek feathers. He looks almost like a jet aircraft or something to me because he's got these long pointed wings. He's really streamlined and his whole back is this beautiful blue color. And his breast is a creamy color, but sort of with a wash of salmon color and then with speckles down below.
Is he a big bird or a small bird?
He's about the size of a crow. He was bred in captivity by a friend in California. And he was pretty wild and spooky when I got him. He actually seemed wilder than some wild trap hawks and falcons I've had.
I think you described once, and when you were describing training the bird, didn't you write that you can't even look them straight in the eye?
No. You trap a falcon, you never look at it. To a predator, if you stare at something, the fixed stare of another animal usually precedes an attack, so they expect to be attacked if you stare at them. Because they're not social animals, they have no concept of dominance and submission, and you can't force your will upon a falcon. You sort of have to come to them hat in hand, you know, even if you're an emperor or a king. It's an unusual kind of training relationship. You know, you can't force it to do what you want.
So falconry is kind of an anachronistic pursuit. What got you interested in it? What drew you to it?
Well, I guess it wasn't so much that I was drawn to some ancient sport so much as that I really loved animals and particularly birds. And when I was young, I was always training things. And, you know, then I heard about falconry and I just thought, well, that's the ultimate in animal training. And when I did get interested in it, I went to a library looking for a book so I could learn how to do it. And the only one I found in the library was a 1942 translation of a book written by Emperor Frederick II, The Art of Falconry, or Hunting with Birds.
And this was written when?
It was written in the 1200s. And it's a huge, huge book. And I went to the library and checked it out, and I said, I'm going to read this whole thing.
How old were you?
I was 12. So I started reading this thing, and it was really dense, and I had to struggle with it. I kept going back to the library and renewing it, and finally the librarian got really mad at me and said, you know, you can't just keep checking this book out. You've had it 5 times already. And I opened it up, and I said, well, look, I'm the first person who's checked it out in 15 years. So she finally gave me this informal, agreement where I could just take it home indefinitely. And I had it for about a year and a half, and I read it from cover to cover, and then I went back and read the things I was really interested in.
What is falconry? Would you call it a sport, an art?
Well, for me, it goes beyond sport. Your goal is not to go out and take a head of game necessarily. It's the way you do it. You know, the beauty of the flight. The way I fly a falcon is called waiting on, where you get them to circle hundreds of feet above you, and then you'll flush game, and they'll dive down on it. And I look at it like the whole sky is my canvas, and I'm trying to set up this work of art, and the bird has to finish it.
So the bird and you together are... Mm-hmm. Are the hunter, as though the two of
yes.
you together make up one hunter.
And that's what I love about it. It's the bond between a person and an animal, you know, a team. This almost strange, almost unnatural team working together, you know, this wild creature and this human. And it all depends on how good you are at flying them in a good place and getting them in the best physical shape and flushing the game at the right time. And they know how good you are. And if you're not good and if you're not finding enough game, you're flushing them in the wrong time when they're out of position, they know it and they just, you know, go off hunting by themselves. They get disgusted.
They sort of have contempt for you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
What's the relationship between the two of you like? Do you love him?
Well, yeah, I guess I do. It's funny to describe the relationship between a bird of prey and a person. It's not like a pet. They're not a social animal. They don't run in packs. So there's not a demonstrative kind of relationship. And in fact, in medieval times, people always spoke about the peregrine having the air of nobility, and it was that kind of aloofness. It was like an aristocrat.
So it sounds like for this partnership, this bond between the hunter and his falcon to work right, you really have to kind of become part falcon yourself. You have to enter into the mind of the bird and see the world the way a falcon does.
Yeah, and I actually think that I've learned so much about the prey species, too. I really understand them and appreciate them. I see great differences between different species of ducks, for example, and also different individuals. And when I see something, a duck do something brilliant to escape, I just think, wow, that's really good. I'm glad he got away.
So Macduff is, you said, about the size of a crow. How on earth does a bird that size bring down a great big duck?
Well, it's hard. He goes up to really high altitude, and he'll go into a stoop. He'll, like, turn over, start flying downward, pumping his wings to gain speed, and then fold up completely. And he just tries to hit the duck as hard as he can to stun it. And sometimes if he hits it far forward, it'll flip a couple of times in the air, and it might actually crash into the ground and be knocked out or something, and he'll swoop back up, and then he might stoop at it a couple of times when it's on the ground to make sure it's not going to take off, and then he'll go down and he'll finish it off. He's got a real sharp bill with sort of a serrated edge. They sever the spinal cord with their bill. A mallard is really pretty large for a male peregrine, and it's really a pretty sporting proposition, because a lot of times he'll try to hit one and it'll knock some feathers off maybe, and it'll just keep going.
Is there something beautiful to you about this? A lot of people listen to your description and think, ooh, that sounds really bloodthirsty. But there's beauty in it, I think, for you.
It's probably unusual for someone like me. I mean, I'm a dyed-in-the-wool bird watcher and a conservationist, and I really admire waterfowl. But there is kind of a beauty to me seeing nature like this. It's nature in action. And I think one of the most amazing things in all of nature is the power dive of a peregrine falcon. And it's the kind of thing when people see that, like a bird watcher or someone else, they might see that once in their life, and it's something they'll always remember, the most dramatic, amazing thing, the speed of this bird, the sound of the wind whistling through its feathers, and the sound of the impact when it hits something. It's just awe-inspiring. And I don't care if I don't get any game. I mean, most of the time I come back, I haven't caught anything, but it's just the spectacle of it, I guess, and the relationship with the bird.
Tim Gallagher's memoir is called Falcon Fever. He spoke with N. Strange Champs.